In the name of Jesus, amen. In these weeks after Easter, we are focusing on 1 John. John wrote 1 John. He's one of the original 12 disciples. He was an apostle. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in 1 John, he unpacks some of the implications of the resurrection of Jesus. When a dead man comes back to life again, that's a game changer. That is a watershed moment. That's an event that flips things upside down. Now, people still are born, people still die, but there is something that gives us hope and promise. There is one who, just as he said he would, died and rose again for us and for our salvation, and that gives us hope no matter what happens. In today's epistle reading, John writes about three implications of the resurrection. Implication number one, we are God's children. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. Now you have to think about that. You might think, well, that's no big deal. We're all God's children. Well, where does that come from? It's not children who claim their parents. It's parents who claim their children. It's mom and dad who sign the birth certificate long before little Johnny ever learns to read and write. So if somebody says, well, we're all God's children, what gives you the right to say that? But here we have a word from Scripture where John writes, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. John's words are simple. Whenever our relationship to God is expressed in Scripture in terms of father and children, we should be amazed because it is a stunning reversal of our natural condition. We are by nature born into sin. We are by nature enemies of God. We are by nature consumed with ourselves. And yet God claims us as his own. We stand now because of Jesus, forgiven and made right with God because of Jesus. And not only made right with God, but adopted as children of God. We are children of our Heavenly Father. God calls those who are unworthy because of sin, and he makes them worthy. He makes them his children because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We aren't taught to pray, oh, holy God, most powerful, maker of all things. We are taught to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. We are taught to address God as Abba, Father. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We don't deserve this adoption by grace, but here is the first wonder of this text that John writes about. We have been made children of God, and God says so. Second amazing thing implied in the resurrection. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world does not get it, and the world will not get it. The world does not understand Christians because the world does not understand Christ and the nature and love of the true and living God. Instead, the world rejects its maker in favor of its own self-arrogance and self-understanding. As a result, it doesn't understand and it doesn't want to tolerate children of the Heavenly Father. It's an amazing thing to be called a child of God. But John is also honest with us. That amazing truth also means the world will hate you. The world will reject you. John doesn't hide that truth of what it means to be called a child of God in this world. John had been at Jesus' side on that Maundy Thursday evening, And here is what he heard John say, which he wrote down for us. This is what John heard Jesus say, which John wrote down for us. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. The reality of the cross in the Christian's life must be taken seriously. Yes, we are God's children, but yes, that also means we will be enemies with the world. But even in that, we are reminded God can work through the midst of it. St. Paul, who was no stranger to the world's hatred for those who were God's people, he reminded the Romans, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." The world doesn't get it, and it never will, but God's word still goes forth to guard and protect his people. Third implication of the resurrection is this. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And here John would draw our eyes off of the world around us that hates us, and he would lift our eyes to the one who's going to come again, and to be assured that we shall be like Jesus, and we shall see him as he is. Now, what does that mean? It's a mystery. What we will be has not yet been made known. But it is a mystery that gives us joyful anticipation. Jesus said, "I have gone to prepare a place for you." We hear from the Old Testament scriptures, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And later on about heaven, John would write, describing it, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What that will be like exactly, we'll have to wait and see. But it will be grand and it will be glorious, and even now God is preparing that for you. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To ponder and to consider that with your own two eyes, you will see Jesus in all his glory and his splendor. And it will not be a sight that terrifies you. It will be a sight that will bring you great joy. That's my Savior. We hear Job write these words. He puts it this way, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another." An implication of the resurrection. We shall see Jesus as he is, and we shall be like him. How that all works out, the Lord will take care of. But it gives us something to look forward to. We are children of God because God says so. The world doesn't get that and never will, but God will sustain us in the midst of that. And the day is coming when we shall be like Jesus and we shall see him as he is with our own two eyes. We will behold him and the glories and promises which he gives to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.